Let me begin on behalf of Jeff, Renee, Peterson's, the plants, and all the folks here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to welcome you all. Really glad you could be here. A couple of announcements first. After the conclusion of the wedding ceremony, if you will remain in your seats until the ushers come and dismiss you by row, we'd appreciate it. If you're not going to the reception later, there will be a receiving line for you back on the other side of the foyer. If you are going to Tanner's Brook this evening at 6, we'll meet there for the reception. And at that point, if you're going, Renee and Jeff will plan to come to your table to say hello and greet you. So if you could kind of limit the reception line to just those who are not going, we'd appreciate it. Again, the reception tonight at 6 at Tanner's Brook. If you do not know where that is, it's in Forest Lake, but there's also some cards out on that table with the address so that you can find it. In any case, I'd like to begin this afternoon with a couple of scripture readings. I'm going to begin, this is familiar to many of you that have been to many weddings before, I'm sure, but I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 for just a moment. The Bible says there that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now, Paul says that marriage is honorable in all. We are all aware, I'm sure, that that very institution is much under much maligned today, as much critiqued. In fact, there is an all-out attack on this very thing which we do here this very day. Well, in spite of those things, God Himself's opinion is that marriage is honorable in all. On a personal note, Renee, I believe, started coming to Blessed Hope Baptist Church in the mid-90s. Since that time, she's been a faithful friend and a faithful servant here. We've known her a little longer than we know Jeff. So Jeff's a little bit of a new thing. We're not quite sure about him yet. But Jeff has served here for several years and been a part of us, and we very much look favorably on this union. And as the Lord says, marriage is honorable in all. The second scripture I want to bring to your to the fore here this afternoon is the quote-unquote marriage passage of the New Testament. Many people consider it so. You've heard it at most weddings. It's in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading in verse 28. And says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we, now that we is we Christians that have been born again, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And then it says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Says there that it is a great mystery. Now, you learn from that passage that hidden within the folds of this marriage ceremony today is truly the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happens sometimes is that certain things are repeated so often that to folks who hear them often, they become cliched and they no longer have the meaning or impact that they should. But if you look at this marriage today and consider these scriptures, I think from this light, perhaps you'll leave today with a different opinion. There's a reason we do things the way we do things, and there's a reason we honor this institution the way we do. It is not ritual. It's reason. There is a reason for doing it. In this man and this woman getting married, you find that God has given us light on what our relationship with Him is supposed to be. And that's what I'd like to elaborate on here for just a little while. Again, many of you here, as me, I mean, I'm over 30, so I've been to a lot of weddings in my day. And most weddings in many ways go much the same. You hear much the same scripture and all those things. But I hope that you would see it in a little bit different light today. I wonder how many of you, it says that this is a great mystery. So what we're seeing here is a great mystery. But in what way is it mysterious? What is mysterious about it? I'd like to open your eyes to that. I wonder if all the weddings you might have been to through the years, if you may not have actually seen what was going on. I wonder if you might not have seen the true gospel of Jesus Christ. There are three words that I would bring to the fore, and I won't be long this afternoon. You can clap now if you want to, but the first word I would bring to the fore here that you must understand is the word relationship. Now, we're having a ceremony here today. That much is true. Some would call it a ritualistic ceremony. There are decorations. Many hours of labor have gone into the preparations. The musicians have labored for hours, and we went through rehearsal last night and rehearsed again and again to bring these details through in what I hope will be a flawless manner. We shall see yet about that. But here we have people dressed in their finest and all that. And yes, by Monday or Tuesday, after these ceremonies, the state of Minnesota and the county of Anoka will honor Jeff and Renee's marriage as legitimate. So we're glad for that. But a marriage is not forged in a ceremony. And a marriage is not just recorded at the county seat. It's just not true. Jeff and Renee have had a relationship. They have been for a number of years here. Relatively, I suppose, superficial friends, though brothers and sisters in Christ, they've been acquainted here and served at some level with one another here. But at the same time, I'd just like to say that today, there's something happening in this relationship that's different from anything before. Because today, they're committing to an exclusive of all others, relationship with one with another. Now today, it becomes deeply personal. And today it becomes wholly dedicated. They are today wholly committing the rest of their lives together in this relationship. And when I say that for this reason. For a long time now, men, some well-meaning, some not well-meaning, some even deceived, have tried in vain to administrate a relationship with God and salvation for sinners by rite and by ritual and by religion. The problem is salvation is not by rite, R-I-T-E. It's not by ritual. And it's not by religion. Salvation is in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ that died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It's a relationship. I can take you through scores of examples, but I'll give you a few in brief. The thief on the cross hung beside the Lord Jesus Christ. And there came an hour that he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. But remember me, not remember us, not remember them. Remember me. It was personal. And the Lord Jesus Christ turned to him and said, today shalt thou, not shall you all, but today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It's personal. Now, I wish to say I can also bring to your mind the Apostle Paul, who was smitten to the road to Damascus on his way to persecute more of those rotten Christians. And the Lord Jesus Christ essentially knocked him down on that road. And the Apostle Paul looked up into that light and said, Lord, what wouldest thou have me? Not us, not we to do, but me. It's personal. Here's an Ethiopian eunuch sitting in his chariot alone, reading the prophet Isaiah. Philip, the apostle, comes along and asks to join him in the chariot. And they sit down one-on-one, and there Philip presents to a singular man, the Ethiopian eunuch, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, of himself, for that man. not just the whole world, and not just all of Israel, and not just all the Gentiles, but for that man alone. And on that day, that man received Jesus Christ personally. And that's how he got saved. I call to your mind that Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 3, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear my voice." This is not an offer to a corporate entity. It's an offer to an individual man, an individual one. Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." And he said, "Except a man," not a nation, but "except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Ladies and gentlemen, salvation is in a relationship. It is not in religion. It is not in ritual. It is not by right. It's a relationship. The second word I would bring to your mind to keep from going too long here is the word faith. Now, we're once again, please don't tune me out because we're all accustomed to hearing the word faith in church. You're about to see a remarkable thing when you stop and think about it. Again, like most of us, many of you have been to many, many weddings in your time. If you're my age, mid-50s, you've probably been to a dozen or more weddings in your time, perhaps more. So it's easy to become adapted to what you see and hear and for it to kind of roll off your shoulders. But consider what you're seeing here. In just a few moments, these two people will stand on this stage and they will commit the rest of their lives together to be together. Now, I'm not about to disclose anybody's age or weight today, but it's easy enough to see that there's a possibility that Jeff and Renee could have 30 or 40 or even 50 years left of the balance of their lives together. Think what a remarkable thing it is that two people would stand before God and in the face of this company and commit the next 40 or 50 years together of their lives. That is a remarkable amount of faith. Because there's one thing that's true. Nothing stays quite the same in this life. Neither of these can know for certain what the other will be like in 30 years. Or for that matter, what that person alone may be like in 30 years. I mean, there are all kinds of things that change. Jeff could suffer a devastating hair loss. No, I'm sorry. Oh, never mind. But all kinds of things change in all seriousness. If you've been married 20 or 30 years, all things change. And so it's a remarkable thing to stand and actually watch two people who mean it commit themselves to live together for the balance of their lives. Now consider that and consider what's offered. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And consider that for the amount of faith that these two have for each other to say, in essence, "I promise before God and this company for the rest of my life to place my trust and my commitment and my faith to you, Jeff, to you, Renee, for whatever amount of time that we have left, I will be true to you." Now, ladies and gentlemen, that man is a fallible man. And that woman is a fallible woman. The difference is, there's nowhere near as much faith necessary to believe on Jesus Christ. Listen, the Bible says He is the faithful and true witness. The Bible says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ promises that He is immutable, unchangeable. Nothing is going to change with Him. When I place my trust and faith in a Jesus Christ who died for my sins and shed His blood for me, and He asks me to trust Him by faith, I am placing my faith, I am committing to someone who not only won't fail, not only has never failed, but can't fail. That is not what these two have in promise with one another. It takes a remarkable amount more faith for these two to commit to one another than it does to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and then rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. That's why I say the gospel of salvation is hidden within the folds of what you're seeing here today. We've talked about relationship. We talked about faith. I have one last thing, and then I'll be done. The last word I would bring to your mind is decision. Renee and Jeff are not getting married today because a long, long time ago, their mothers met over their cribs and determined that these two in betrothal would marry one another when they became of age. That's not what happened. The two fathers didn't get together and exchange sheep or goats or pigs or money or anything else to decide that these two would get married. These two are getting married today because they have personally made the decision. Isn't it funny, folks, that folks think they're Christians because they were born in a so-called Christian country? Isn't it funny that folks think that they're Christians because they were born in a so-called Christian family? You know, I would just say that I know some families where both mom and dad, husband and wife, are lawyers and doctors, and yet when the child comes up, that doesn't guarantee the child is a lawyer or a doctor. And just because two people that have babies are engineers doesn't mean the child is automatically an engineer. There comes a day the child has to decide for itself whether he shall be a lawyer or a doctor or an engineer or a farmer or whatever else. Isn't it funny that folks think they're Christians because they're told they are? Isn't it funny that folks think they're Christians because they're affiliated in some denominational sense somewhere? And I would only say to you, we've talked about a relationship. That's what salvation is. Is that what you have with God through Jesus Christ? Or do you have a religion? Faith. Many of you here today are married. Many of you have probably been married many years. You had faith in that man or that woman when you told her that day you would be true to her for the balance of your lifetime. Is it really that hard to have faith in a Savior that followed through with everything He ever said and then died and then rose again from the dead and has never yet lied nor failed? And lastly, a decision. Have you made a decision for Jesus Christ? I don't mean have you made a decision to become a Baptist. That is not the issue. The issue is whether you have made a decision like these two have made one to another to receive Jesus Christ by faith as your Savior. And for many decades, for many centuries now, men have tried to legislate salvation by ritual and by rite. And that is not how it's received. It's received personally. Could I have you bow your heads for just a moment here as we pray? Now, Father, I'm asking you today as we are here to celebrate this wonderful event by two people that have placed their trust in you for long years, have been patient, have been long-suffering, and have kept the honor in this day. Father, I pray that you might help folks to get the full impact of what they're seeing here. These are two people that were willing to wait on God, and they did. And they have been rewarded while many others have leapt off into the dark and done things that are precipitous. These have kept the honor in this day, in this hour. I pray, Father, you'd help folks to plainly see. Let me have you remain with your heads bowed or your eyes closed for just a second. And let me just ask, are you trusting a religion or a rite or a ritual or a series of such things for your salvation. I'm making a personal appeal to you. I'm making a personal appeal. It's not all that common at weddings, but I make a personal appeal because Jesus Christ made a personal appeal. And He died for your sins and bled and suffered reproach and anguish for you. Not to establish that if you would join a certain organization and leap through certain ritual hoops, that you too could have eternal life. He died for you personally, took your sins in His own body personally, and bled and suffered, was buried, and then rose again the third day, having defeated several enemies that nobody else ever has. Sin, death, hell, and the devil. All at the same time, all on their own ground. Now, I want to ask you, what would lead someone to turn down an offer of a man who loved you so and presents himself to you personally saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? What would lead somebody to say, "No, I don't want that"? I hope that would not be you today. I hope it has not been you to this point. The Lord Jesus Christ is altogether lovely, like the song said, and He will save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him. The Philippian jailer was told, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Now, Father, once again, we ask You to bless the remainder of this ceremony here today. It is a joyful time. We are very grateful to be here to witness it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.